Here we go. By the way, for the video cam people, here in front of me again, if you haven't seen it before, is the facsimile, digital facsimile, the exact size and digitalized copy of an original King James Bible. And by looking at this thing, it's 30 pounds. Aren't you glad you have to carry that to church? We think these are too big to carry. So we get these. All right, haven't we gone a long ways? But you know what? It's the same words. Printer's mistakes have been fixed and all that kind of stuff. But there it is. Still 1611. Okay, here's something that came across on a Mercola thing the other day. So he's a health guy. He's got some really good things to say about the poisons in our food. He's still just trying to sell his vitamins anyway, so nothing new there. And this is a guy that's starting to show that prayer and spiritualizing is one of the ways of becoming healthy and healed and all this kind of stuff. And I'm just looking at this thing going, he's talking about premonitions, you know, and he's talking about the power of premonitions and the power of prayer and the practice of medicine and all that kind of stuff. And he's a hotshot guy, former chief of Medical City, Dallas Hospital, I guess, I don't know. But he's also spoken at the Mahatma Gandhi Memorial Lecture in New Delhi, India. So that says a lot for him. He's a co-chairman on the panel on mind and body interventions. And it's just, my comment here is we're going to start seeing this more and more, how spirituality, prayer, you know, this kind of a thing, is going to enter into our lives even more. And us King James guys and the radical Paul-only kind of guys, which is very simply how to put it in there, and we know what's wrong with this stuff, but how are you going to deal with somebody who, when they go to do down to the club, the exercise club, which women ought not be there, but then I guess if you're there, it's because you're not because you're a woman, it's because you're a man with a different shape, I guess. I don't know, wanting to do the aggressive man stuff. I don't understand that. John, remember when we had to do the club down in Las Vegas? Good to see you there, by the way. Club down in Las Vegas. And I joined that thing. Had to. Not any of my choice. And they went co-ed, or whatever they want to call it, mixed. And I said, I'm not going to do this in front of those ladies, and they don't need to do what they're doing in front of me. Well, that's sure dead gone, isn't it, by now? So now we got spirituality moving into the exercise world. They're taking yoga classes while they do their physical exercise. I would say it's the American exercise with all these people making money on the internet and these CDs and stuff, but they're doing yoga now at the same time. It's new age, yeah, no doubt. And look at what music does for people. Music, there's more and more music, and I see this in the school curriculums all the time, teaching kids that, you know, I was reading something where flute music is supposed to be good for Alzheimer's patients. Well, it probably is. I mean, it's music and it's soothing and the kind of music that they're playing. There's ways to look at that. I don't have a problem with that. But for that music to become a power of healing in our lives, that's the problem. No more than a good visit by somebody can put somebody back happy again. A good visit, a good gift, or helping somebody out financially, or patting them on the back, encouraging them to go forward, edifying. And there's all sorts of things that work for people. Well, the Word of God works for people too. But they have not. It's never worked for them because they're in this folly modern Christianity. So take them fudge, there we go. This false spirituality junk, which is just demonic to the max, is going to start bringing in religion. Mount Rushmore, if you go to Mount Rushmore, you know the four presidents down there? That's a national shrine. Shrine is, it's a religious place. The Indians, it's their stomping grounds. It's their burial grounds. It's their place where all their spirits come and collect. And it's like, people, come on. And the crazy horse down there who was just sucking money off the government and world and all that stuff, he hasn't built that thing. He started that thing before I was born. What a joke that thing is. But everybody thinks it's marvelous. You go down to a Badlands night tour or night program by the ranger, and the ranger gives you this Indian lesson about how the teepee posts all show the circular of the earth in the solar system going towards your spiritual great white God. You know, it's just like, oh, please. Everywhere you go, it's spirituality. But if I wanted to pop in a couple of scriptures about something, great. That's why I said this morning, honor killing. They're going after us. They're going after you folks that are trying to do something right with your Bibles, based on rightly dividing, and it changes your life. And because you change your life, It shames somebody else. It's not your goal, but they take it as shame. Fathers will then return the shame to their daughters or to their sons. Wives will attack their husbands because he's changing his life spiritually. Husbands will attack the wives because the wife is changing her life spiritually. Teachers and stupid, you know, we change our lives for the better. We put on more clothes. We don't drink. We don't do the stuff that we learn we should not. And they go after us, just like Jeremiah and just like Aaron after Moses and all these guys after Paul. And I just popped it in this morning that honor killings are what's going on. They're not killing us physically, but they're going after us spiritually. If you get your family, and you, if you get yourself right within that church, as far as God goes in the King James Bible, that church, that pastor, will try to destroy you spiritually. I said this morning, what would happen if the pastor got this? Says, well, I know, folks, I look out in front of the congregation here, and some of you folks are just too modest this morning. Or, I notice some of you ladies have quieted down. Now, what's going on? I notice some of you men are taking better control of your family. How dare you? What are you trying to do? Trying to make me look bad as a pastor? Well, we have a lot of pastors that do this honor killing because these people are getting a hold of their Bibles. And they're finding out that their pastor does not have to be obeyed like he's God. And yeah, then he goes after him. So, that's what this thing was. I know I did a horrible job this morning preaching that thing. It was just, I don't know how to put that thing together. But there's honor killings everywhere. And I even left out a section on how do you get out of them, you know. Paul gives it on a marriage basis. Paul gives it on a husband and a wife, and he gives it on the parents through the children basis. And there's an out that if it's that big a deal, you get out of that snare. Oh, yeah, so I kind of botched that one this morning. Tonight, we're just going to look at 1 John. And I have nothing planned. We're just going to look at 1 John. Here we go. This is the love book. You know, you go to 1 John 4:19, you know, and that says, we love him because he first loved us, and that's a good. But we've got to realize that their Bibles don't say that. Their Bibles say, we love because he first loved us. They take out the word him. Okay, so this becomes the all love book. And I read through this thing, I got some things underlined that just shows me there's no way. There is no way this is written to me. It's for me. Because it tells me that, you know, this is how Christ is going to operate during the tribulation. This is how they're going to have to be during the tribulation. And there's things in here that go against what Paul teaches. And we know what Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, that if it's not the same gospel I'm preaching, then it's not from God. It's cursed. The person that's preaching it is accursed. Well, nobody seems to be cursed. Well, that curse for changing the word of God doesn't take place until the millennium. And if somebody changes what God said and Jesus says during the millennium, then they'll get the curse. They'll get the plagues and they'll get killed. That's where this all takes place. But right now, it doesn't. And certainly, 1 John is not written to us today. So, and we look at first. Let's look at the first chapter. I'm just kind of read through the thing, I guess, and just, you know, I wish somebody would say something to me sometime about something in 1 John. I said, do you really believe that's written to you? And here we go. Same thing with Peter and James and Hebrews, and you know, it's just like a whatever. People, don't you so stupid out there? But been there, done that, so have to be careful with that thing. So let's look at this thing. And if you need to have some ammo for somebody that thinks the whole Bible is there for us, well, the whole Bible is there for us, but it's not all to us. We will be judged by Paul's teachings. That's the stuff that is taught to us to be applicable in our lives. This other stuff is not applicable, but it tells us more about the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is what Paul says. Are you ashamed of his testimony? The testimony of Christ goes back to when he was crossing the wilderness with these guys. He wasn't in the flesh, but he was still there. You get him into Gospels. He was in the flesh on the earth, fulfilling the law as a human would have to. And then, you know, the whole story. Then you get into the tribulation after Paul's teachings, after the church age. Then, yeah, here's how Christ is going to handle things then. Why is that so irritating to people? Why does it make them so mad? Is it like evolution? They really don't believe in evolution. But if they don't believe in evolution, they have to believe in God. Okay? So if they really don't believe that this stuff in 1 John and Hebrews and stuff is kind of for them to do, because obviously they don't do these things, that's only because they don't want to believe Paul's a man to follow. Because Paul hammers them with Timothy and Titus. Paul loves them. Tells them the truth. So these people that are in the Gospels, they know they can't do all that stuff if they ever read the thing. They can't give it all away and follow Jesus like that. So then they go to the altar and they cry after church and they do all that kind of stuff, and they know nothing changes in their life. So they know something's not right. But they're just not going to go to Paul because that would be just too hard for them. Plus the pastors don't talk to them, so the people, what do they know anymore? Nobody reads their own Bible anymore. They just let their pastor tell them. So, not to ramble on with my grumps here, let's go to chapter 1. And I may skip a couple verses, but probably not. And we should be able to get through the thing, maybe. And I don't want to make this into a long verse, because we've already done this before. I think somewhere in my site there's a bunch of stuff on 1 John, but let's just look at this thing tonight. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. Well, that's Christ. That's Jesus during their time. That's why John, who also wrote the Gospel of John, what's it doing at the end of the Bible? There's Paul's stuff stuck in the middle. We know that whole story. The dispensation of grace. They went out to the Gentiles and the Jews, and they were going to win this world, and they didn't, and they killed off Stephen. And so, boom, here comes Paul, was Christ talking to Paul. And all the stuff that these guys wrote that would have been the tribulation, would have been that time, is moved back. It's just that simple. So that's why these guys at the back of the Bible can still say, well, you know, we've looked upon it, we've touched him. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Yes, it was manifested unto the Jews. That we which have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. Okay, so here's the great fellowship book, the great love book, because this all deals with fellowship. See, and if you read this stuff and you don't do all the stuff that it says here, then you lose that fellowship. This is what we hear all the time. It just goes against everything Paul preaches and teaches. Verse 4, and these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Well, when we read what 1 John consists of, you got to keep his commandments. But bottom line, you got to keep his commandments. Now, that's not easy. And they're going to be in the tribulation. So they're going to have to be doing right, and they're going to have to be being close to the Lord while they're doing this stuff. It's the only way they're going to have their joy. Now, today, our joy is based on what Christ has already done for us, already done to us. And we know we're going to fight the battles. We're going to fight the issues. And we don't necessarily enjoy those kind of things. Like the ladies always say, it's hot. Well, it's always been hot in the summer, ma'am. Why do you have to take your clothes off now? So there's a difference. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, which we know that, and in him is no darkness at all. Okay, well, a person can say that, you know, we're in Christ and he's in us. That Paul teaches that. But just watch carefully here. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now, the doctrine that Paul teaches that is so important compared to 1 John is imputation and spiritual circumcision. We're cut away from the flesh. The Spirit of God, Jesus Christ himself, is in us and we're in him. We're not in our bodies. We're separated from that flesh. So if we do anything, it isn't us that did it. We followed the flesh. And the flesh is what made us do it. And it's that sin that is in us, still in that flesh. Now we know Acts chapter 2, this is where Peter says to these guys, no, they're not drunk, all that kind of stuff. They're talking about here, this is what Joel said was going to be taking place in the last days. Tribulation, last days. Saith God in verse 17, Acts 2:17, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, young men shall see visions, and old men shall dream dreams, and handmaidens and the whole deal. But it's on their flesh. So we're going to see a huge amount of emphasis here on the flesh, on the walk, in the tribulation, because they're going to have to walk the walk. So if they do, then their joy will be full. If they do, they're in him. Because if they're going to be in him, they cannot be walking in darkness. Now, we can walk in darkness, but that's our body, that's our flesh. We are in the light. We are the light, actually, as far as the Bible goes. There's a difference there. People don't understand that. And it says here in verse 7, but if we walk in the light, okay, that would be in him, As he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Oh, okay, good. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Okay, that's fine. But if you don't walk in the light, then you lose that fellowship. And you're not cleansed from all sin. Right? I mean, if you walk in darkness and suddenly you're in darkness, that means your sin hasn't been cleansed. So if our sin isn't imputed to us because it's not us anymore, there's no law, it took care of the law, then there's not even anything that's going to be called a sin. It's different. It's majorly different than these guys. Then it says in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, well, do we say that? We still have sin. It's in our flesh. It's in our body. Me personally? No, I don't. Well, you're crazy to think of such. Well, listen, how about you just read Paul's books? I'll show you something in Romans. I'll show you something in Colossians. No, I don't want to know that. Why don't you want to know that? Why is this such a hard thing, kids, young people? Why are you letting your Baptist preacher tell you that the Paul stuff is a bunch of bahooey when all you have to do is read it for yourself? Are you so lazy and so blind and so dense with your music and your fleshy little self, your vanity of yourself, wanting to gain lose weight and be pretty and all this kind of stuff? You boys want to go out there and be loving and peaceful and let your wife run the whole ship? Is that what you want? Get into your Bible and read for this thing yourself. Don't be so lazy. Anyway, because he says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. I have sin. My body does. My flesh does. Paul says that. Romans chapter 7, kids, young people, other people, look at Romans chapter 7, King James Bible. If you can't read a King James Bible, you're a pretty bad reader, because this is the one Bible that's got more one- and two-syllable words than any other Bible. One- and two-syllable words? Dr. Seuss could read this thing. Too late he didn't, but oh well. Here's the classic verse then. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, that's good. No, it's not good. Not for us today. He doesn't write that to us. Because if he wrote that to us, then you just go to Catholic Mass every Saturday, or if you just go to bed at night, keep track of your sins during the day and confess them at night, then see, you're still forgiven. But that isn't what salvation is. Asking God to forgive your sins today does not make you saved. Any more than a queer stopping his queering makes him a Christian. No, it just makes him normal again, a normal lost person instead of a queered lost person. But during the tribulation, they are going to slip up. Christ is going to chastise them, Revelation chapter 3, because he loves them, and he's going to try to get them back in the path. He's in them, and he's not in them, and he's in them, and he's not in them, that kind of a thing. I know it's a crazy thing, but that you watch this thing here now. And it's going to be based on their walk. He says in verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us. Well, I haven't sinned since I've been saved. I have followed sin in my body. My body has done things wrong. My flesh, sin that's in there, has made me do things wrong. And I've chosen to follow that. But it never got imputed. There's no law that says it was wrong. All things are lawful. So he can't take us to court. There's things we should not do, and that'll come out in the judgment seat. You know, the strings to our liberty. But all things are lawful. All things are lawful. You can wear that. You can not wear that. You can go there and act like an idiot. You can be a bad testimony. You can watch the crummy, you know, but it's going to burn the judgment seat. But it doesn't get imputed to you. So do we say that we have not sinned? Just like Paul says it. Wasn't me that did it. It was a sin that was in me. Now, does that make sense to chapter 1? There's just no way. You got to know Paul a little bit here. Now let's do chapter 2. Maybe we won't get through this whole thing. Just sitting here and reading this thing and just yakking about it is all I'm going to do tonight. I hope I don't bore you with it. My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. Okay? Remember this modern Christianity, the Bible guys. They're trying to get you to do everything right. They're trying to get you to stop being queer. They're trying to get people to stop drinking. And they want... That's what the street preachers are doing. Tell them to quit doing all this kind of... Why? Why should they quit doing all that stuff? Doesn't make them a Christian if they do. Write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Any man sin. Not just a Christian. Not just a brethren. If any man sin... We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So do we need him to be our advocate today when we sin? No. Sin hasn't been imputed. We're spiritually circumcised. There's all things are lawful. He does not have to be an advocate right now. He took care of our sins. So this is tribulation stuff. Yeah, if they do something wrong, they're going to have to go they're going to have to go to Jesus Christ as their advocate, as their lawyer, and get this thing straightened out, which Christ will do. But you got to confess them. He is a propitiation, that's substitute. He is the propitiation for our sins. Okay, he took the place of our sins, okay? And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now you got the people that say, well, see right there, Christ took care of all the sins. Everybody's a Christian. I was reading the thing about Ronald Reagan. I'm reading his diaries again. Everybody says Ronald Reagan was a Christian. You read his diary, no way. He says we're all God's children. So this guy that shot him, he forgave him right away because he's just one of God's children, mixed up a little bit. Well, I'm glad he forgave the guy, but that doesn't make him a Christian at all. Ronald Reagan was no Christian based on his teachings. He went to church. He even supported the King James Bible. We've got websites out there that brag about Ronald Reagan saying the King James Bible is the Word of God. Too bad he didn't trust Christ. Now, here's a big verse. This ought to be underlined to show the doubters out there. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. There you are. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. There you go. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. How? You're walking the commandments, and if you mess up, you've got to confess them. This is tribulation. This is not today. But this is what they're teaching everywhere. Because all this masters of the gospels, and I'll show you that too if we have time tonight. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. We're supposed to imitate Christ. That's what people are saying. He that saith he abideth in him, are you in Christ? Then you ought to walk just like Jesus walked. Well, that's nice, but doesn't that make you an antichrist? Doesn't that make you a copycat, an imitator? Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. If you've got the true light now. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. This is why these supposedly serious Christians out there say they love everybody, because they have to love everybody, according to this. Well, you follow their lives a little bit. They've got some people they don't love, and if they don't love you the way they talk to you and all this kind of stuff, then you can get them on. Hey, I thought you're supposed to. You just told me to go away. You just told me to go to hell. You just told me to quit doing this, and you're leaving my fellowship. Why is it? Don't you love me? Don't you want to show me what's wrong with my stuff about Paul? Don't you love me and care enough for me to show me? Well, if you don't love me, you just lost your salvation. Verse 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. You have no, you cannot stumble over hating somebody. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. You are lost as a goose in the tribulation if you don't love your brethren, every one of them. Verse 13, I write unto you fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. Whoops, 12. I write unto you little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Well, how can this guy say that? How can John say that? I write unto you fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. So here's this Lutheran church teaching that when you get baptized, you become part of God's family. When you get communion, you receive the Holy Spirit. So as a little child, you've already known God. Well, that's what they get that from. Now, and the fathers, you've known him from the beginning. Well, have we? Not since I was a father that I know this stuff. Then you got the one in the middle, the Overcomers. You ever heard of the Overcomers? The Overcomers are a group of people that say that they're Christians, but then they've also overcome the walk. They walk the holy walk because they get it from 1 John. And I remember talking with one guy who kind of dropped it. I'm an older guy. And he dropped that on me, and he wanted to say, well, you know, I'm an overcomer. And I said, well, what's that? So I'm a Christian, but I've overcome my walk. I'm walking clean as a Christian ought to walk. So I'm an overcomer. And we go to a special place. We get to be the ones that go to heaven, be with God himself personally, based on 1 John. And so where do I go if I'm not an overcomer? He says, well, I haven't figured that out yet. I'm working on that one. And this is an overcomer thing. This is pretty popular in America. Because you got this prideful Christian who thinks that they really are walking right. Totally clean, 100%. They are keeping his commandments. And they go back to the Ten Commandments, that's the only ones they talk about. Or they go to the Gospels and see what is he says they do in there. Knowing, of course, that if they don't quite do it, they can confess them and be clean and still say, well, see, we keep his commandments. No, you don't. If you have to confess your sin that you did wrong, you're not keeping his commandments, even though you're cleansed from it. Come on, make sense of this stuff. I have written to you, fathers, again, verse 14, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you. And ye have overcome the wicked one. So learn your Bible. See, then that's how you do it. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Boy, isn't that a threat? Now, I'm all for not following the world's ways, but I'm working in it. Brian, you're trying to work in it. Mark, you're working in it. Peter, you know, you've got to be out there. And it's got some enjoyable things. Am I a Demas follower? I try not to be. But in this case, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. I mean, you're lost. Just like that. Boom, your salvation's over with. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Well, that's true. That's a fact. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Sure, but the will of God today is to trust Jesus Christ as a risen Savior, following Paul's gospel, Paul's teachings, as we learn to follow Christ. Not Jesus, that's the will of God. Romans chapter 12. That's too easy. Little children, here's a big clue. It is the last time. Well, see, today is not the, we haven't even had the rapture yet. This isn't the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Well, there's their clue. Okay, so we're seeing more and more people saying they're imitating Jesus. We're seeing more and more people who say they are the Messiah. They are the one, kind of a thing. So yeah, there's more and more of those popping up. So sure, we know that we're getting closer to the last time. Knowing, of course, there still has to be that rapture to wrap this out of here, because there's two different doctrines in the church age compared to the tribulation. If people can't find a verse that satisfies them about the rapture going to exist, then they better look at Hebrews through John, Hebrews through Jude, look at the teachings of doctrine there, compare them to Paul's teachings, and compare that to the Gospels. Something has to change before the tribulation starts. And those are either there's not going to be anybody here when it's time, or we get raptured out of here. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now, that may not make sense, but read it slowly. This is starting to make sense more and more. So many of the people that are turning into these antichrists or these anti-true Christian believers are coming from our church, from our body, from our churches. The folly, they're becoming very angry and bitter towards God, and they're coming up, they're antichrists. Yeah, it says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. Sure, if they were of us with the Paul stuff, then they wouldn't be getting so upset like that. And here's one, verse 20, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. And you've heard me say, this is the only place that you can find this thing about an unction. So if your pastor or one of your church people, whatever, prays for the unction of the Holy Ghost or the Holy One or of God, they're preaching and teaching a wrong belief, wrong dispensation. Because you don't know all things. I don't care. I don't care who you are out there, here, me, anybody. We do not know all things. We have a Bible that knows all things. So this Bible has the unction from the Holy One. I don't have a problem with that. And I'm just trying to learn it as I go, and the Spirit of God is giving me what I learn as I read. And you know all things. These people really think they know all things, and they don't need their Bible to know it because God gives it to them. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth. Wait a minute. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it. So the reason I'm preaching this stuff to you guys tonight, and Adriana and everybody else that's out there someday, you know this stuff already. God's already told you. I'm just verifying it with my Bible. Sorry, it's the other way around. We learn from the Bible and change our lives to verify it. We don't live our lives the way we want to and find a scripture or a Bible that makes it fit. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? Okay, there it is. Jesus is the Christ. That's the whole belief in the Gospels. That's the whole belief in 1 John. They had to believe that Jesus was the Christ. He was the Messiah. That's what they have to believe. And that's in John. That's in the Gospels, all through the Gospels, especially in John. Well, why would it not be in John? John talks about it here. Look at chapter 4, verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him. Is that all we have to do today is to believe that Jesus was the Son of God and we're saved? That's not what Paul teaches. Ephesians chapter 1, 12 and 13. There's one place. Okay, back to 22, chapter 2, verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. JWs. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. So all we have to do is acknowledge that Jesus Christ was God. He was the Messiah. That's it. That's not today. That is not today. Acts 8:37 it is. That the Ethiopian eunuch. Great verse that us Baptists always use to show that the Bible is the Word of God. And they take that verse out of Bibles. Are you kidding? Acts 28 and Acts 27. Acts 28 verse something here. Maybe it's Acts 20. Come on now. Where's this thing? Acts 8:20. Is that what I want? Acts 8 something? That's what it is. Sorry. Here we go. Acts 8:37. This guy wants to be baptized. If thou mayest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Philip says, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is not a salvation verse for us. That's a gospel teaching. That is before Paul comes along the scene. And the devil takes that out of the Bible. So why would he take that out of the Bible if it's not the truth for us today? Because it shows that gospels, a salvation in the gospels is believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He had to get that verse out of there. He smokescreened that thing, so we make a big fuss about the verse missing, not knowing that that's a different kind of salvation than we have today. That make sense? Okay. Got more coming up. You got a new kid in town with a new motorcycle out there. 24, chapter 2, verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you. Oh, if it shall remain in you. What if it leaves? Ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Then you better walk that life all the time. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life, based on the walk. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Okay, so they're being seduced. Now here's another hot one. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. Oh, really? And how many people think they've been anointed today? And here's what anointing defines. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. So if you've got the anointing, then you're in Father, you're in God the Father, you're in Christ, and you know everything. You've got the unction, and you've got the anointing, and so nobody can teach you anything. Boy, don't people have that kind of a brain wave today, these Christians? You can't teach me anything about that Bible. Really? I don't know it all either. Can I share about rightly dividing? No, God never told me anything about that. Well, it's right here. Oh, it's amazing. This stuff is in here. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. See, we're not going to be ashamed at his coming. When he comes at the rapture, those of you that will still be there, I think, there's going to be no shame there because he's taken the shame away. All things are lawful. We're going to go through the judgment seat. Yeah, that's not going to be a good time, but it's not going to be a terror, like Ruckman says. It's going to be a terror. It's going to be a disappointing time. We will be shamed, but Christ will say, I was shamed on the cross for you. Relax, just get this thing out of the way, and there we go. But this is at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Are you born of God? Are you born again? John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 2. It's the only place you hear about being born again or being born of God. Gospel stuff. Jews, not to the Gentiles. And if you're doing righteousness, then you're born of God. How many Catholics, Mormons, Hindus, all this kind of crowd out there, a lot of these people do a better life than a lot of Christian people do. Seventh-day Adventists, they're very generous. They have nice houses, and they're very good people. But they're wrong. Their doing righteousness is not going to get them to heaven. It's his righteousness, not theirs. But in the tribulation, it will be their righteousness. Following what Jesus said and what Jesus did, then yes, they'll be doing his righteousness, but they'll be the one doing it. Chapter 3. We live in a small town. We got the noisiest street in town. Isn't that exciting? I want to get to chapter 4. We got time. I hope we get to it. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. I guess that you can say that, but it's not because he bestowed upon us anything based on our walk, so we're not, we really can't say, aren't we special because God bestowed upon us, he can call us the sons of God. Aren't we good because we've done this? I heard a Calvinist preacher one time say, isn't that marvelous that God would pick me, and he picked you? No, he didn't pick us. So, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Well, we know, Paul talks about that in Philippians. But look at this. Every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself. So if this is your hope, and you want to be like the Son of, you want to be like the Savior when he comes back, then you're going to have to walk the walk so you can be like him when he comes to get you, and you're going to be purifying yourself in the process, or you can't go with him. Verse 4, and here's a string of verses that just expose it all to me. Verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. Well, we don't have the law to transgress today. For sin is a transgression of the law. Well, sure it is, but he took care of the law, people. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Well, of course, and he's in us, and so we could kind of make that thing fit to Paul's teachings, but keep reading here. Don't just stop on that verse. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Now, you'll see that we're talking about the walk. If you do anything wrong in your walk, then you don't have him. You're not abiding in him, and he's not in you. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God is manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Here it is. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Are you born again? Yes. Are you sinning? Well, I do a few things. Then you're not born of God. Anytime you do something wrong, you lose your salvation based on tribulation. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Well, wait a minute. I thought if you're born of God, and you're saying if you sin, how can that be? In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. He's just saying, listen, if you're going to be in the tribulation, you're going to have to walk the walk. You're going to have to love the brother. You're going to have to be doing righteousness in your walk. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Here's why these Christians are so lovey-dovey, except to us. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore he slew him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Works, the law. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. That's how they base their salvation, and they love us. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. You don't love the brethren. Paul tells us, it's not about loving them or not. It's if they're doing something wrong and it's going to cause you to stumble, but then you're supposed to avoid them. You're supposed to from such withdraw. It says don't not love them, but we're supposed to do something about it. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. So there you go. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. There you go. You see anybody doing that? But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? See, somebody has a need, and you have a way to fulfill that need, whether it be financially or physically or whatever, then you can lose the salvation of God if you don't help that guy. You might not even have it in the first place. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Well, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But let's follow Paul's teaching. He's not Peter's. For if our heart, and hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. What is that? That you help your brethren. So these people are helping all these people, doing all the righteous stuff in these churches, and being all these righteous little religious people, and they think that that's what's making them be a Christian, because of what it says in 1 John, by what their pastor preaches as a loving fellowship book. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Well, we can have the confidence because we know Christ took care of our sins, and these guys have the confidence because they know they've walked in these commandments. He says in verse 22, right after this, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So is this why you don't have answer to prayer? Because you're not keeping his commandment and you're not doing those things that are pleasing in his sight? That's what it says. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. Can you see why kids today, young people today, are quitting the church, seeing their religious scene, because they hear this and hear this and hear this. And if they don't do something right, they're not getting chastised by God because he won't do it. And if they do something right, their prayers still aren't being answered. It's a folly. It's a fake to them. Well, of course, it's a teaching in the wrong dispensation. 23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, which means you believe that name, he is the Messiah, and love one another, as he gave his commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. Hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. So you've got that feeling. You got that feeling. Oh. I don't know. It's just, I wish I had a chance to preach this in front of a bunch of people or something. I wish somebody invited me to come over to their church and do a little sermon. But anyway. Now here we go. Chapter 4. I've been looking at this thing for a long time. And you know, I'm going to say something here. And you can take it or leave it, I guess. I don't know. We'll see here. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Okay, we know that's happening more and more, but we're still in the tribulation. The spirit behind this Bible is the Word of God. Is God himself. So I don't have a problem with that. Now here we go. This is different than I've ever taught this before as a Baptist preacher. But then again, so a lot of things. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Here's how you know. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. And I'm looking at this thing, you know, there's something wrong here grammatically with what we say, that this is teaching that Jesus Christ came in the flesh in the gospel days. Yes, he was God manifest in the flesh. Okay, we can accept that. And we know that after the tribulation, Christ is going to come in the flesh. We know that too. Right? But this doesn't say that. This says, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is, that's right now, that's present tense. It's not, it doesn't say has, and it doesn't say will. It says is, come in the flesh, is of God. Now, again, this somebody may talk me out of this someday, but if I go back to Acts chapter 2, and we see, remember we see that the Spirit of God comes upon their flesh, because they have to walk the walk. So he will give them the power to walk the walk, because their flesh will have the Spirit of God. Well, the Spirit of God is also Jesus Christ, which is also God. So God manifested himself in the flesh in the gospel days, and then in the Paul days, he's cut us away from our flesh because our sin is still in the flesh and Christ is in us, even though we've also been given the Spirit of God, the earnest of the Spirit. So why wouldn't this be telling people that in those days, during the tribulation, if they confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that's their flesh, upon their flesh, it says in 2 Acts from Peter, saying the same thing. So Jesus is going to come in the flesh, in their flesh, to be on their flesh, in their flesh, on their flesh. We're separated from it. It doesn't say, confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh or will come in the flesh. It says is right now. And if that spirit says no, that is not Jesus Christ in the flesh, which is what they'll teach, then that's not of God. That's the Antichrist. And we know the music is gearing towards the flesh. We know that the preaching is gearing towards the flesh. We know that our feelings are gearing towards the flesh. We know that the new Bibles make everybody happy with the flesh. Right, John, Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. Right, but you've got to be reading your Bible to get that verification. Because if we don't, we've got people out there that say that they've got the Spirit of God. Based on what? What do they base it on? Well, they base it on their feelings. They base it on their love of the brethren. They base it on their perfect walk, which isn't perfect, so they confess their sins, all this kind of stuff. So, in Paul's time, the Spirit itself will bear witness with our spirit while we read our Bible that stuff starts to make sense. And in the tribulation, they're going to have the Spirit of God bear witness upon them because they're doing the right thing. They're walking the walk, and they love the brethren. And they'll have that feeling. They won't have a Bible to tell them here's what they're doing or what they're not doing. They will receive that witness from within themselves because they are walking the walk. So, this thought right here, how are they going to know that they've got the Spirit of God in those days? They're going to have to confess that the Spirit that's in this, helping them make the walk, is Christ. It's the Spirit of God. Anything else is not. It's going to be the Spirit of Antichrist. Now, keep reading. I'll show you. I think I'll show you some more here. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. There's that overcomer thing again. You're doing a right walk. Because greater is he that is in you, there's this famous thing, that he that is in the world. That's right. Christ is in them. He's in what in them? He's in their flesh. Remember, Peter says that in Acts chapter 2. And they're going to have to walk the walk, and Christ will be in their flesh to help them do it. And if they stray from it, he'll smack them with a chastisement, Revelation chapter 3, get them back on the trail. They will have to walk his commandments. And why would Christ expect everybody to walk in the commandments again when they couldn't do it in the Old Testament? They couldn't do it in the gospel. And he doesn't even ask us to do it. He gets rid of the law that makes the commandments. So we're back to having to do the commandment. This time he's going to give his people himself in their flesh to help them do it. And they're going to have to suffer for it. They don't dare take the mark because the mark affects their flesh. Hebrews chapter 6. And then they lose it. And they can't get it back according to Hebrews chapter 6. Right, Acts 2:17. So I'm starting to understand even more this thing about, I never liked that word, that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. That just didn't have the right grammatical thing. But that makes total sense to me, based on Acts chapter 2, based on Hebrews chapter 6, and based on what these guys are being told to do in 1 John and Peter and stuff, and what Christ said he's going to do in Revelation chapter 3, when he says to them, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I will come into what? Into his flesh. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. So their walk is going to have to overcome what's wrong. And we got people, I'll say it again, we got people today that are teaching that they're an overcomer today because their walk is so clean. Cut it out. You read Paul, and I'm sorry, but you do not have a perfect walk. You just can't. It's possible, but we're not going to. Whenever you think you're doing right, read your Bible, you're going to find something else. You thought something wrong about somebody. You didn't encourage somebody when you should have. There's always something where you messed up. Do you have to confess it? No, you don't. But good was going to do. It wasn't imputed, and there's no law there. All things are lawful. It's going to come out in the judgment seat. Confess it all you want. It's still going to show up in your judgment seat. But you're not going to lose your fellowship. You're not going to lose your salvation, because this is 1 John. This is tribulation stuff. Just keep going. You'll see more of what I'm saying here. You're God's little children, because greater. 6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. How are they going to know that? Because God will tell them. How do we know that today? God tells us through a Bible. No wonder the devil hates the Bible so much, what this represents today. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. There you go. People think they're Christians because they love everybody. And they don't want to argue. They don't want to fight. They don't want to have guns. They want to just give in and have peace and da-da-da-da. Peace, brethren, and little fingers going up, and they're wearing flowers in their hair and stuff like that. They think that makes them a Christian. There's a bunch of those. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Where's your love, people? How can you rebuke somebody? How could you pull away from somebody? Because Paul says in his books to avoid them, withdraw from them, have no company with. Where's your love? You're not even saved. You've heard that a million times. Verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us. This is Paul. This is tribulation days, not us today. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Okay, that's fine. That's John. Look at that. See, St. John says it again. You're going to live through Jesus in these days because you're going to have to walk his walk and have him in your flesh. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Well, that's true. Paul talks about that sort of a thing. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Okay, so if we don't love one another, God's not dwelling in us, and his love is not perfected in us. And we know that anybody who hates his brother is a murderer, and we know that there's murderer has eternal life. So the pressure is going to be on to love the brethren big time in the tribulation. Well, Paul tells us to love the brethren all the time today. Somebody messes up, they're supposed to be there for them anyway. If it's going to cause your family to stumble, then you don't go there. I mean, there's all sorts of things to look at there. But our love of the brethren, our salvation is not based on the love of the brethren. Our judgment seat will be, rewards, etc. But the tribulation, they're going to have to love their brothers or they lose their salvation. God will not be in them. Verse 13, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his spirit. How do you know that? Because you love one another. You prove your salvation by loving everybody. Even though when you go to bed at night, you think about this idiot and you're just mad at him, and you know. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Okay. But he went to be the Savior of the world through the Jews at first. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. That's not salvation today. That was the salvation, I said it before, that was the salvation during the Gospels, and that was the salvation during the tribulation. Just to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then you better walk what he tells you to do. And we have known and believe that the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. These people are going to have a hard time loving the brethren when the brethren are going to burn them because everybody needs to have some food and they can't go buy any. Herein is our love made perfect, meaning complete, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Well, yeah, you're going to be hassled quite a bit, just like he was. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Sure, during the tribulation, they're going to get through this whole mess by just loving everybody and hanging and not doing wrong. That's what Christ did. How many times did he shut up when he could have said something? He didn't. How many times could he have struck down the people attacking him? He didn't. Funny, because Paul doesn't teach that. The risen Savior doesn't teach that. We're supposed to avoid, not punch him out, but we're supposed to avoid him. But he teaches about self-defense. We have no problem with self-defense as a Christian. Now here's verse 19. Remember, they changed these in the New Bibles. New Bibles say we love because he first loved us. No, the real truth is we love him because he first loved us. He is more important than the people. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. So right, you better love the brother during the tribulation. You ought to love the brother today, but there's a lot of issues, a lot of problems, and we just let it happen. Like I said this morning, honor killing. We kill our own people that either it's because they're falling down and you're so happy that they fell that you stomp on them, crucify them, and tell people all sorts of things about them, or you have an honor killing because you're ashamed because your daughter or your husband or your wife or your church member or something is doing better. They've actually got a grip on modesty. They've actually changed in their clothes. They're actually changing their way of being. The men have become the man of the household, da-da-da-da, and the kids are changing, da-da-da. Yeah, people get mad at that, and they honor kill them because they're shamed. So, chapter 5, we'll finish this up. I have done the whole book tonight here. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, there it is again, is born of God. There it is again. That doesn't work for us today. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. For this we know, that we love the children of God when we love God, and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. They're not? I mean, he says they're not, but boy, people are going to have a hard time, because you can't buy, sell, or trade if you don't take that mark. Here we go. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? So these people become overcomers. And so they teach that today, that if you walk the right walk, then you're an overcomer. You get to go to the highest heaven. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by spirit and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Truth, thy what is truth? Thy word is truth. We receive this. We receive the witness from the Spirit of God through our King James Bible. And if they hate the King James Bible, that's because the Spirit is not bearing witness to them. Boy, that's a whole other can of worms. Or the Spirit is bearing witness to them and they hate it. For there are three that bear record in heaven. Okay, that's in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth. The Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. Here goes. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. What is the record of his Son? That he is the Messiah. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life.
Well, sure, you can make that work today, but it puts people in the wrong books for doctrinal stuff. And how do they have the Son in these days? Believing he was the Messiah. How do we have the Son in our day? To put our faith and trust in him. These things have, and this is classic verses. John, we've always quoted these things to people. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. There it is again. Believe on the name, what's his name? Messiah. Believe that he's the Messiah. That ye may know that ye have eternal life. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So you get what you prayed for. So kids hear that, and they don't see what everybody getting what they prayed for, and people, parents, adults, everybody gets disgusted after a while. They don't understand the Paul stuff. And if we know that he hears us, I would get that. Verse 16, if any man see his brother sin a sin, which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. Whoa. Now, Paul doesn't teach that. Isn't that good? There's no law. Whew. That's how we get out of this one. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. I would think not. All unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God, how are you born of God? Believing that Christ is the Messiah. Sinneth not. Because if you've got Christ in you, you're not going to sin because he's on your flesh. But if you do sin, then you don't have Christ on your flesh. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. There's a prideful statement. You know, I'm a Christian. Nothing wrong with me. And they're talking about the imputation, the no law stuff. They're talking about their walk. As they stand on the corners, let everybody have it. You wicked sinners out there. You're standing there 300 pounds yourself, and you're looking like a slob, looking just like them because you don't want to offend them. And you're telling them to get their life right. And then you go home and pop on some MASH video or some stupid thing, you know. And you're no different than them. You're just not queering. That's all. So they say stuff like that. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. Well, we know we are of God, but it's not based on our walk. It's based on our faith. And it's based on this Bible tells us that he took away our sins. He washed them away, and he's not imputing them again because he took away the law. That's how we know we're of God, because of the King James Bible. Not because we love the brethren. Not because we're doing righteousness. Come on, if our salvation was based on what we do as a right person, none of us are going to be saved here tonight. And we know that the Son of God is come, there it is again, is come, that's right now. That's not has come, and it's not will come, it's is come. That we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true. Not will be, and not have been, but are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God in eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Little tag at the end there. Well, if you've got Christ in you and it's in your flesh, Acts chapter 2, then you better keep yourself from idols. It's going to be tough in the tribulation, last days. Yeah, but they got Christ in their flesh. We don't know what that's like. No, we don't know what that's like. We can't imagine that. But it's still going to be tough because you can't buy, trade, or sell. Something like that. Buy, sell, or trade, or whatever. And you're going to have to do his commandments. And he's going to be in there to help you do them, but you're still going to have to do them. We got a Bible to help us do them. Right? We have Christ. He's just not in our flesh. He's in us. We're separated from our flesh. We still have the right way to go about life. Not based on 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Not based on the Gospels, but based on Paul's teachings. Paul's teachings teach us that the law is gone. Do the best you can, and every time you do something good, there'll be word coming up at the judgment seat, and it's a good testimony. But don't cause anybody to stumble. Don't let it be a poor occasion of the flesh. Better edify. Better be expedient. Better not have a power over you. And remember, you're going to reap what you sow. But I'm not going to spank you. I'm not going to chastise you. I'm not even going to chastise the lost people, Romans chapter 2. The goodness of God bringeth thee to repentance. And in the tribulation, God's got to spank them. And God will be in them, in their flesh. Upon their flesh. Upon their flesh. There it is, the flesh. Be part of that flesh. That's what I'm seeing. So, there you are.